Hello, this
Hello.
is Universal Soul Love.
This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love, welcome to our show. Today we're going to be talking about inner earth, hollow earth, and we have a special guest with us.
Rodney Clough, who's an author and an hollow earth theorist researcher, inner earth explorer, and we're very excited to have Rodney on our show today. Welcome to the show, Rodney.
Nice to be on our show tonight.
We're very excited about this show. You've done research into Hollow Earth for many, many years, and you've got a wonderful book out about Hollow Earth.
And I guess you're also you've taken over most famous Hollow Earth expedition project that was formerly operated by Brooks Agnew, I believe.
Originally, it was led by Steve Curry of Provo,
right.
Utah, and then Dr. Brooke Agnew then was elected our expedition leader, and then he resigned in 2013, and we are currently working to do one of these crowdfunding programs to raise money to do the expedition.
Well, that's very exciting. That's amazing.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about it.
Tell us, how did you get into this area of Hollow Earth? I mean, obviously, it's quite a controversial area because we have been taught that the Earth isn't hollow. What started you off on this?
Well, in 1966, I was 16 years old and working on a New Mexico farm. And the farm manager's son told the boys about the theory that the earth is hollow. So that picked my interest. And years later, I saw an advertisement for Raymond Bernard's book, The Hollow Earth. I sent off for it and started my research into the theory. And I've, over the years, have accumulated a substantial amount of scriptural, scientific, and historical evidence that our Earth is hollow. Not only our Earth, but all planetary bodies are hollow.
Oh, okay. Even the sun?
Even the sun, yeah. Actually, the sun.
Wow.
I did a calculation on the sun that if it had a solid surface and was 10% of its diameter, it would have the density of glass. And you can read in the scriptures how the celestial world is likened to a crystal. So yeah, the sun is hollow. There's a scientist at the website The Surface of the Sun in California, Michael Mozzini, has done substantial amount of research into the sun, and using satellites that study the sun on a regular basis. He, on his website, for example, he has a video of a sunquake that happens on the surface of the sun. There's a wave that goes out. There's, in this place where the sunquake happened, there is a liquid covering the surface of the sun. And you can see the wave as it's going out from the epicenter. It passes over a mountain on the surface of the sun. He has videos, sequential videos showing that at a certain wavelength you can see the surface of the sun, and there's features on the surface of the sun from the pole to the equator and to the equator to the southern pole. And then he's taken photographs, sequential photographs showing that all these surface features rotate at the same rate of speed. And interesting thing that I found out recently, I asked him, how fast does the sun rotate? knowing that you can see the surface of the sun with these certain filters and wavelengths. And he came back and told me that it rotates at the speed of 27.3 days, Earth days. And the curious thing is that our moon rotates around the Earth at the exact same rate that the sun rotates.
Hmm. Strange coincidence. Hmm. So what got you into this area?
It's a very strong interest for Lana and I. We have a passion for exploring Hollow Earth and researching ourselves, and so we're very excited to have you on our show to talk about it today.
And of course, the scientific, I guess, paradigm is such that you need to be open to things. Mm. You know, you can't, move forward unless you are open to things. And I'm quite curious about it, because there's a lot of, I think, legends about Hollow Earth in the Buddhist Tibetan literature. Admiral Byrd, whose parody flew into the North Pole and then the South Pole. So there's a lot of interesting speculation about it. So,
lots of reports.
So I'm quite curious. Mm. What got you into this area?
Well, like I said, I learned about it working on the farm in New Mexico when I was 16. I later read the book The Hollow Earth by Raymond Bernard, and I sent off for all those books that he mentions in his book. And I my curiosity was that this would be an ideal place for the Lord to hide the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and that's what was discussed on the farm way back when I was 16. And first of all, you have to find the evidence that if the earth is really hollow or not, and then if it's inhabitable. And over the years, I have discovered several people that have been to the hollow earth and come back to tell about it, that the earth is hollow. We met retired Colonel Billy Woodard that contacted me in about 2008. We went over to Pahrumpa, Nevada to visit him. And he told me his story of how when he was growing up, he was taken in a flying saucer through the North Polar opening. And stayed there for 6 months, and his family was looking for him all over the place and couldn't find him. And then one day he showed up again when the flying saucer brought him back. And
that's an incredible story.
After graduating from high school, he joined the military and was assigned to Area 51. And he was assigned the Hollow Earth file there.
Oh, really? Of course, Area 51 is an area known for being top secret and for lots of, activity of the UFO activity. So that's really interesting.
He told me that while he was there, they were digging under Area 51 on level 26. They broke into a Hollow Earth tunnel. And the Hollow Earth people came to see what they were doing breaking into their tunnel. And they requested Billy Woodard by name that the military would send him to the Hollow Earth to talk about some things that they wanted to some messages that they wanted to give our government. Over the years that he was there, he traveled to the Hollow Earth through this tunnel that belonged to the Hollow Earth.
Hello, are you there? I may have lost him.
Okay, well, maybe our engineer can just call him back and reconnect. And
fascinating story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very curious to find out what kind of creatures live in inner Earth. I mean, obviously, I don't think that the entire Earth is just plain hollow. I think it's probably very cavernous. I mean, we're only living on the surface of the planet, which is a very small part of the planet.
Well, I know that some of the descriptions has been that there's lots of tunnels going from the surface into inner Earth, and there might be some various concentric sort of spheres.
That's right.
So, and it's described that there's a sun in the very center, which is not as strong as our sun, but a fascinating concept.
That would enable light and growth of vegetation. I understand that there's caverns the size of countries almost, and mountains within the Earth that are probably taller than some of the mountains we have on the surface of the planet, which makes sense. If you look at the size of the Earth, it's certainly possible that there could be caverns and there could be creatures inside the Earth. I wouldn't totally dismiss this theory.
It's plausible. It's interesting that legends often have a basis in something. Mm. And, of course, Jules Verne wrote a famous book, Journey to the Center of the Earth, where there are giant beings and of all kinds, including giant humans and other beings. And it's interesting that of late we've been finding they've been finding skeletons of giants throughout the world,
right?
Which is very curious. You know, you wonder whether that's just fantasy or whether it's fact. But there seems to be some evidence for it, and there seems to be some evidence for the fact that this has actually been covered up for many years. Mm. I mean, certainly if this exists, we need to know. We've got a right to know.
Well, I mean, I guess that whatever creatures are within the Earth, whether they're reptilians or snake people or Lemurians, I suppose we've heard that they don't want us down there, which I can't blame them, being that we're a bit hostile up here.
But then again, there might be some hostility inside there. They say there's a legend that Hitler was incredibly interested in the occult, and that in fact a lot of Nazis entered into inner Earth.
We've heard that about from Admiral Byrd.
Yes, yeah, and Admiral Byrd, I know, it seems to be quite a credible witness. And I know that he flew into, there's supposed to be two openings for inner Earth. One is above the North Pole, and the other is above the South Pole. I mean, it seems very far-fetched, but the fact is that it's a no-fly zone over the North Pole and the South Pole. That is quite curious. And I've seen some photographs with the North Pole and South Pole having an actual hole there. Mm. Now, there's also evidence that they've found of green leafy plants in the Arctic. Mammoths that have apparently been, frozen very quickly. And there's been some suggestion that this may have come from inside the Earth. It's very, really piques my curiosity. I mean, it's just amazing. I know that there's also been some seismological evidence that when earthquakes occur, that there's a curious sort of ring to the earthquakes that suggests that the earth might be hollow, and that is not an inner molten core. And I know that the same thing has been said for the moon. Mm. So it's very, very interesting, and I think it's worthwhile pursuing.
Well, it is. We certainly have a strong interest in it. We've been researching this a bit. We started listening to an audio book, a popular one. I believe it's, what's it called? Editora. It's Aphrodite spelled backwards, which is sort of interesting, given my own experiential, spiritual awakening involving the goddess, quote unquote, divine feminine essence. So I think that's kind of interesting account of a Freemason who goes into inner Earth and with a blue being as its guide. And I guess I don't know, it's an interesting story that we haven't gotten very far with, but it's one of the more famous reports, and it was an opening in Kentucky apparently into inner Earth. And
it's interesting, I have a Buddhist background, and I know that in Buddhist folklore there is There are tunnels apparently under Lhasa, which is the capital of Tibet, and there are Agartha, I believe, is the name of given to Inner Earth. There's Shambhala, which is supposed to be a city where of incredible paradise and peace. I know that there are some suggestions that the Garden of Eden, the original Garden of Eden, paradise, was in Inner Earth, and that, you know, mankind, after Adam and Eve, were, you know, were sent to the surface of the earth as punishment. Now, that's interesting, very, very interesting. And from a scientific point of view, I really do need to know what our planet is like.
Well, I think that it's totally unexplored. I mean, nobody's ever actually gone very far into the earth. How far have we really dug or explored? That we know of publicly, other than, you know, the reports of Admiral Byrne.
And we know that a lot of images of Earth can be doctored by NASA.
Sure.
So,
well, anybody can doctor anything.
I mean, that's right.
I've been an investigator. I've seen every type of fraud and deception. So I know that the more money you have, the bigger the deceptions and manipulations and disinformation, which is disinformation is certainly a favorite of investigators and intelligence agents. You know, and certainly using media and whatnot as a tool to cover things up or throw people off. I know that all too well.
Now, of course, there's also a flat earth theory.
Yes, we've had a flat earth expert on our show in the past, which was kind of interesting. I don't know how that would work with Hollow Earth.
Well, I mean, it might be a combination. You might, you know, have a sort of a concave type of Earth, which is both flat and hollow inside. It would be fascinating to actually, you know, go onto an expedition. Hello? Is Rodney back?
Hello.
We were just having a little talk about Hollow Earth, our own knowledge of it.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, yes, we were just talking about the flat earth theory and whether, you know, hollow earth and flat earth can come together as a concave earth.
I mean, I believe in the holographic matrix theory of the universe. So my conception of the nature of reality is probably different from everyone else's anyhow. But
so what is your question?
So you've done years of research into this. I'm just wondering, how convinced are you that the Earth is hollow? What degree of evidence do you think you have?
Well, I think I have better evidence that the Earth is hollow, and all the planets and even asteroids are hollow than what science can come up with. That the planets are full of lava, molten lava. Or that the sun is a ball of gas, or the outer planets are balls of the gas. If they were balls of gas, what's holding them in their shape as a sphere? It's impossible to have a spheric shape if it was just a ball of gas. The rotation of it would flatten it all out. So all
really?
The planets have all the planets have solid surfaces. Even the sun.
So can I ask you, Rodney, what would the molten lava, where do you think, if the Earth is hollow, what do you make of the fact that there's so much lava under the crust? Whereabouts would that go to? And whereabouts would that be
Earth was full of molten lava, we would have an ocean of lava. About 8,000 or 7,000 miles in diameter, that would be continually be breaking up through the crust of the Earth and sinking whole continents daily. It's ridiculous that the idea that the Earth is full of molten lava. The reason why we get a little bit of molten lava in certain places is because our Earth was formed originally as a space bubble upon which collected space dust and rocks. And over the years, it accumulated until it's got a shell about 800 miles thick from the outside to the inside. And then water was placed on there.
When you talk about the space bubble, what would be inside? Because I have heard some scientists, alternative scientists, speculate that what is inside is plasma, which I believe is sort of like a very powerful concentrated energy.
Well, I was explaining about where lava comes from on the Earth. And this lava is caused because it's original space dust that the Earth was originally made from consisted of space metals such as sodium, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, which when they come in contact with water spontaneously explode, okay? And so what's happening is that the Earth has been cracked by asteroids hitting it in the past, and we have plates, what they call in the plate tectonic system. At the boundaries of the plates are these cracks that the Earth is continually expanding and contracting because of the interaction of the gravity of the moon on the surface of the planet, okay? Most people know about the tides of the oceans, that they go up and down. Every time the moon comes up, the tide goes up, okay? Well, the surface of the planet does also, it only goes up about a foot, and you don't notice it that much because it's covered, you know, over a long area. And so, what this does is interaction of the gravity of the sun and the Earth and the moon, causing the Earth to expand and contract there every day like a breathing body. It opens up these cracks on the plate tectonic boundaries, and it allows water to seep down into original space dust deposits of which are reactive metals like sodium, potassium, phosphorus, and when these come in contact with water, they spontaneously expand. Okay, that's what's causing the lava. And the earthquakes, the majority of the earthquakes occur exactly where most of the lava is coming out. So how can you have earthquakes occurring where it's mostly liquid in the plate tectonic, orthodox scientific theory? Well, the reason why the lava is coming out exactly where the earthquakes are happening is because it's not full of lava inside the earth, okay? It's just that when the cracks open up, that allows water to seep down to these original space dust and space metals, that there's spontaneous combustion and it creates the lava.
I see. That's interesting. What about the beings in the earth?
What could we expect? Leonard and I were just talking about this, about the types of beings someone might encounter if they were to go into an earth, like giants, reptilians, snake people, lemurians,
giant spiders.
We've heard arachnids, we've heard reports on, even we've heard about Shambhala, we've heard about Agatha, even the biblical hell or places like hell within the earth, kingdoms, all sorts of creatures and dinosaurs, and like that old TV show. I don't know.
So can you give a description from your research what sort of entities might live there?
Well, there's a book written by a person that journeyed to our hollow earth. His name was Olaf Jansson. He was a Norwegian. With his father, they went fishing up where he usually go. Went fishing up above the Lofoten Islands, up in the Arctic, near Norway. And they had, that year, in 1829, they had gone north of the Franz Josef Lands Islands. And they noticed a lead in the ice towards the north. And he remarked to his father that many times he had told me about our ancestors, the cousins of our ancestors that went into the north country and that they were called the chosen ones. Why don't we go and explore? And so they went, followed this lead, and they just happened to go, this lead just happened to take them right through the North Polar opening, which I have pinpointed as being at 84.84 north, 129 east longitude. Mm-hmm. And they sailed through this opening. It took them about a month to get to the inner continent. And they found this giant river, and were going up this river in their little sailboat when they were met by a big ship that was coming down. And they were taken in by the people there. They said that they were people that were North European type people, with blonde hair, some reddish hair, very well educated people, but they were from 8 feet to 15 feet tall. So I guess you could call them giants. They were taught their language. After 1 year, they learned how to speak their language. They were taken to their capital city overland in their monorail train, and he said that their capital city is built around the original Garden of Eden, that's where Adam and Eve, God placed Adam and Eve in the original Garden of Eden in our Hollow Earth. And I asked Billy Woodard, retired Colonel Billy Woodard, that had been to the Hollow Earth through the tunnel trains, where he thought the Garden of Eden was, their capital city. And he thought a little bit, and he says, Arkansas. He thought maybe Arkansas was where above their city. Well, we, in our church, or the revelations we receive from Jesus Christ is that the future capital of America would be called the New Jerusalem, and built at Independence, Missouri. And that a short distance north of there is where Adam lived after he was expelled out of the Garden of Eden. So that indicates to me that probably 100 miles beneath Independence, Missouri, which is close to Arkansas, is where the inner capital of the inner world is, in the city of Eden. He described the people there. Both Olaf Jansen and Billy Woodard said that they were, you know, very tall people, very well educated, very cultural people. But there are also other people that have gone to the Hollow Earth. For example, the Lost Greenland Colony. It was populated in about 900 AD, and then some, about 1,000 years later, it disappeared, and they didn't know where the Greenland colonists went to. But Lieutenant Green, who was the science officer on Admiral Perry's expeditions to the North Pole in 1909, asked the Greenland Eskimos where the lost Greenland colonists went, and the Vikings. And they said, well, one winter, a hunting party that had gone into the north looking for game came back all real happy that they had found a paradise up there. And that the Eskimos said that they just all picked up all their things and belongings, left their chickens and their horses, and just traipsed off across the ice and went to the Hollow Earth through the North Polar opening. So there we have Vikings living in there. At the end of World War II, the Germans had made contact with their lost tribes that had gone to the Hollow Earth. And asked them for asylum if they lost the war. So on your on my website, you can find a letter that I have from one of the Germans that went to the Hollow Earth in a submarine. It was captained by Heinrich Broda, and his name was Carl Unger. And I actually had some my German friends from Germany send me his diary showing that he was thinking about going to the Hollow Earth before he went and left part of his diary in Germany. Then
so
you have.
Can I ask you? Did he write a letter? Did he write a letter from Hollow Earth? How did he get the letter back out to the surface?
You're breaking up. Can you say that again?
Did you say that he sent a letter back about Hollow Earth?
Yes, that he made it to the Hollow Earth. Yes.
Did he come back, or how did he get the letter back to the surface?
Well, I received a manuscript in about 2008 from another Hollow Earth researcher, written by John B. Lift, and he had done a lot of research about the Hollow Earth and originally didn't know about the Hollow Earth, but in his research it turned up that the Earth is hollow, and that's where a lot of the Germans escaped to after the World War II. He says that in about 1500s, a colony of Germans had gone into the, had migrated to Brazil, and they had journeyed up the Amazon River and into the Mato Grosso, and they were holed up in a cavern by some head hunting Indians. And so they were looking for another way out so they could get past the Indians, and they went back exploring into this cavern. And they came out into the Hollow Earth. So many years later, when they established communication again with their mother country in Germany, they told their people back in Germany that the Earth is hollow and that they had a way through their cavern to get there. And so that's what I believe is how that letter got back, is that Carl Unger sent it back through this German colony in the Mato Grosso, and then they mailed it over surface land to his friend here in the United States, and that's how we received the letter. Billy Woodard got a copy of it from the former head of the International Society for an Inner Earth, Hollow Earth Society, who at that time was Tawani Schaus. And he's the one that was a friend of Carl Unger that he received his letter. And it wasn't long after that.
There must have been someone who came back. I mean, I don't think there's much of any mail service between Inner Earth and the service.
So. Inner Earth Postal Service.
Well, it's fascinating. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. In your book, I believe that you actually tell people how to get to Inner Earth. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Maybe you can give us your website and
yes,
book title.
Your website and
any information.
Yeah, my website is ourhollowearth.com, and you can buy my book, World Top Secret, Our Earth is Hollow, on my website or at amazon.com. And in 2015, United States Naval Laboratory published on their website some anomalous occurrences in the Arctic on their maps of the Arctic. And these anomalous occurrences indicated to me that was the location of the North Polar Opening. Because it was exactly in the same spot of a NASA photograph of the Arctic showing a hole in that exact same spot in the ice. Okay, this NASA photograph shows a hole in the ice, and it's not too far from Northland, Russia. And in fact, Fridtjof Nansen, who was a Norwegian explorer who went up into the Arctic in about 1893, he rammed his ship up into the ice and let it float across the Arctic to see if he could find evidence of what the Russians call Sannikov land, which is a mirage of land that the Russians saw north of the New Siberian Islands. In fact, this mirage of land has been seen all around the Arctic. Perry saw it from Ellesmere Island in 1909, I think it was, when he went to the pole, in which, or 1908, and he called it Crocker Land. He gave it a name. He thought it was real land, okay? And later, an expedition went up trying to find it, and it was the Macmillan expedition. But his Eskimos finally convinced him it was just a mist. And so he came back. They followed the mirage clear out over the ice, but if they'd kept going, they would have gone into the polar opening, where the inner continent is showing up as a mirage around the Arctic because of the warm air that comes up out of the polar opening causes these mirages.
I see.
When you have a mirage, sometimes there's two mirages. One is the first one is an upside down one, and the other one above it is an upside one. And Dr. Cook, on his way to the pole in I think it was 1908, took a picture of it, and it looks like mountains over there. Headed to the pole and didn't have time to go exploring to check it out. But there have been mirages seen all around the Arctic of this land within the polar opening.
I believe there's also a theory that the Aurora Borealis has something to do with the opening up in the North Pole.
Well, yeah, it's caused by the inner sun. Solar wind from the inner sun blows out through the polar opening and it hits the atmosphere above the poles following the electromagnetic field lines of the Earth. And that's why it looks like an oval, because the magnetic field at that place, that point on the planet, is an oval shape.
I mean, that's an interesting alternative explanation to it. In terms of actually getting to inner Earth, though, I believe that the North Pole and the South Pole are very safe, very closely guarded by...
Well, especially now.
I would imagine, very hard to get in to North Pole and South Pole.
We now have large militaries there, taking over Russia, and China are now up there, and I doubt anyone can get anywhere near the North Pole.
So what are the alternatives? What other places do you think that you could enter into? I believe the Great Canyon might be a place, and the Hopi Indians might know the secret entrance.
We contacted Hank Craftsman, who told us his story that while he was going to Northern Arizona University, he learned about the Hollow Earth and that maybe the Hopi Indians that live up in Northern Arizona could give him permission to go to the Hollow Earth through their opening near the Grand Canyon. So he went over to the Hopi Indian tribe and asked the elders if they would give him permission to go, and they said, "Well, we'll think about it, and we'll let you know with somebody that contacts you there at the university." Well, that fall, a young man came up. He told him his name was Kapovi, the great grandson of Carl Waltz of the Superstition Mountain fame. That a lot of people in Arizona know about. And he asked him after a while to get knowing him if he wanted to go to the Hollow Earth. And he said, "We sure do." So they went to the Hollow Earth. It's not exactly, the entrance is not exactly in the Grand Canyon. It's in the Little Colorado River where it empties into the Grand Canyon. So at that point, he had taken them all day on their mules and had him blindfolded, and he didn't know exactly where was it they got to. But at one point, he says, "You can dismount now and come over here to the canyon wall and stick your hand on the wall." So he goes over there and he sticks his hand on the wall, and his arm goes into the wall. Mm-hmm. He pulls it out and looks at it. And sticks his hand back in the wall again. And Kapovi tells him, Well, it's just a holographic image that we have covering the cavern entrance here that looks like the cavern wall. We can just walk right through it. So they walked right through it, and there were electric lights inside. There was a vehicle. They took it down the 800 miles to the inner surface. They came out into this room just below the surface, where there was about 12 doors in this room, and they went up to this one door, put his hand on the door to open it. And he asked him, well, what are all these other doors for? And he says, well, if somebody gets down this far, they wouldn't know which door to go through. So he took him through this one door, took him through some steps up to the surface, and they got in a hovercraft and took him to a Hopi Indian town or city inside our Hollow Earth, where he fell in love with this Hopi girl that he wanted to marry. And he told Kapoli, before I get married, can I go back to Flagstaff to get my belongings? And Kapoli says, sure. And so he takes him back, and he blindfolds him when he gets out and takes him out of the Grand Canyon. And he asks him, how am I going to know where to go if I'm blindfolded? And Kapoli says, well, just come to this point and yell out my name, and I'll come get you. So he goes back to Flagstaff and gets his personal belongings, and he gets back to the canyon and yells and yells and yells, and Kapovi never shows up. And at about that point in the interview with our expedition member, he says tears started coming down his eyes that he wasn't able to go back and marry his Hopi girl. But later he married a homeless Filipino girl that took him to the Philippines, and I think she fed him some poison because he died over there so that she could claim his insurance.
So tell me, Rodney, what happened to, what's the status with the expedition now that Brooks Agnew has retired for financial reasons and other reasons, and Steve Curry's no longer around? Are there any expeditions planned to inner Earth at this point?
Well, right now I'm working with Andres from Melbourne, Australia. He's doing a crowdfunding. He's working on doing a crowdfunding video, and we want to put together an interesting website with a little video, and with the crowdfunding, we hope to raise enough money to do an expedition that way.
And can I ask you, what entrance would you be looking at going into?
Say it again.
What entrance would you be looking at going into?
The South Polar Opening entrance is pretty much guarded by the United States, the Special Forces, but I don't believe the North Polar Opening is that well guarded. I think it's more guarded by the inner Earth people flying saucers. So, I know more about, I think it's just safer to try to make it through the North Polar Opening.
Sounds very exciting.
So would you be resurrecting the previous plan that was made for the Hollow Earth expedition?
Yeah, well, we'd have to put together all that after we once get the funding. I'm pretty much leaving it up to Andres to figure out all that stuff. I tell people, you know, that they say, well, why don't you put up an expedition together? And I tell them, well, yeah, It takes a lot of logistics and experience of people that know what they're doing to pull off an expedition. I'm just an author.
It certainly does. So if people want to donate to help this expedition, where would they go to?
The crowdfunding hasn't got off the ground yet. We hope to have it ready to go in a few months. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, you let us know. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people would be interested.
Yeah, we'd certainly be interested in doing an interview, and one with Andreas, to support the project once it's off the ground and there's a good plan in place and your crowdfunding.
We'd love to go to Inner Earth.
And yeah, we'd love to go.
Do a radio show from Inner Earth.
We went to Mount Shasta once trying to find Inner Earth, but that was sort of a retreat. But we had fun. So
it's fascinating, fascinating area. And, you know, good on you for having such an open mind for such an amazing topic. Do keep us informed.
Yeah. I mean, I do believe that when conditions on the surface of the Earth are terrible, you know, when there's asteroids coming or whatever is going on with Mother Nature, I believe that, and this is just intuitive, that most civilizations, like the giants, were flooded out. We know about that with Noah. And I believe most civilizations will go underground because it's safer. So they'll go into it. Or probably the reptilians, who I believe were originally called the Nagas, the snake people, not the hybrids that we've heard about. But certainly,
I don't know. Well, the scriptures that I have done a lot of research in, the scriptures about the Hollow Earth in it. And that the Hollow Earth is described in scripture many places, and the scriptures talk about in the last days that the earth is going to be burned by fire. And I've been following the work of Colonel Ed Dames here in the United States, where he has remote viewed the future, and he says that our sun is going to be what burns the Earth's surface when it's struck by a solar flare or coronal mass ejection, what they call it, that will burn the surface of the planet. So yes, there could not be a better refuge place than the Hollow Earth. It's going to be safe down there.
I agree. I do my own channeling, and I've gotten that same message it's probably not going to be inhabitable, and it's probably going to be set on fire from my own sources. But who knows?
Going in sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah,
as long as there aren't huge spiders and huge giants and nasties that on the way.
Yeah, I think Inner Earth has its own dangers, but every life is a risk anyhow.
It is.
We'd be certainly interested in going Inner Earth, but I know, like you said, that it'd be incredibly difficult. I don't think it's such a small task, and it probably requires a lot of specialists and expertise and resources to make an expedition like that. But certainly, it's very exciting.
Well, actually, retired Colonel Billy Woodard, he's been to the Hollow Earth six times times, because he went out once in a flying saucer. He says that the animals inside the Hollow Earth are not, there's not the enmity that exists with animals on the exterior of the planet. So you don't have to worry about animals attacking you in the Hollow Earth. It's a different world. It's a terrestrial type world where Jesus Christ walks and talks with these people, okay? So if a person is willing to live their lives and be peaceful and keep the laws of God, they're welcome in the Hollow Earth. And it is a perfect climate there. There is no hurricanes. There's no tsunamis. There is no wars. There is no poverty. There is no death. People live to be thousands of years old with perfect health, and probably can live as long as they want to live, okay? So it is just absolutely the most perfect environment. A person would consider it heaven if you were able to go there.
You guys have
the actual location of heaven is the inner sun of the planet.
Any problems to get there?
Yeah, I've heard of a lot of people dying or never coming back from inner Earth. So it's a bit disconcerting to think that you might not make it or never come back, but maybe you don't want to come back if you do make it. So.
Look, anyway, keep us posted. It sounds really interesting. Thank you for coming on our show. And so if people want to look up your website, it sounds like a very interesting website, an interesting book.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome to visit my website at ourhollowearth.com. I'll have updates there about our crowdfunding that we're going to be doing.
Fantastic.
And,
Fantastic. Well, keep us informed. We'd love to speak to you again, and possibly Andreas or whoever you have available, and try to support you in this. We certainly get a large audience here, and I know most of them are probably very interested in what you're doing, what you have to say. So with this expedition and everything else that you're doing related to Inner Earth. So appreciate you coming on our show and being our special guest today on Universal Soul Love.
Lovely talking to you.
Okay, thank you for having me on your show tonight. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney.
And this has been Universal Soul Love, talking about Inner Earth, Dr. Lana Love,
Detective David Love.
And we'll catch you next week. Bye for now.
Bye for now.